Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast, post Belgian Grand Prix edition. We've got a nice summer break now.
We have indeed.
Boys, no F1 for a little bit.
Post-spa clarity.
Yes, post-spa clarity. That's one way of putting it.
Well, we're going to go.
First of all, race, it was all right. We kind of gave about a 7 out of 10 kind of agreement in the room after the watch along.
It was above average, I would say.
There's a lot of overtakes. Max slapped it at the front, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we talked about it a bit in the stream, witnessing greatness.
Yeah.
One of this, like, we'll look back on, in the same way you look back on the Schumacher dominant years, the Vettel dominant years, Hamilton.
Yeah.
And Verstappen, the way he's winning this championship is...
I just think it's the tip of the iceberg for Max as well. And obviously, as you know, I'm a Mercedes fan, Lewis fan. It doesn't pain me to say that, but the records will be broken, and they're going to be broken by Max Verstappen, and he'll be one of those legacy drivers that you can, if you play F1 2023 or say F1 30, you'll have three lines when you put him in your team. He's incredible. He's a machine.
The way he won this race from sixth and still had enough room at the front to do a full pit stop, and he was gunning for it.
Yeah, and he wanted it. He wanted it as well. He's like, can I? No, be sensible. But can I? Like,
But I can, can't I?
He's suffering from boredom, isn't he? He's
got to spice this is it what up I'm and, saying. This is what I'm and, saying. Like, yeah. And if I was him, I totally get it. Like, if you're just bopping, and I know I saw in the chat, actually, someone was saying, which is fair, that he enjoys driving on his own, to be fair, but eventually you've got to get bored. Yeah. Just spice it up a little bit.
We just need Just Stop Oil to come out or something. You know what I mean? Get them stuck on the track.
Not again.
Give us something to talk about.
Could you?
There was a lot of orange smoke around.
Yeah,
there was.
Yeah.
It might have been there. You never know.
Could have happened.
Well, how long do we think this lasts, though? Because I know, Alex, this is going to carry on.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, maybe next season. We've had a lot of Red Bull settled on this philosophy at the start of last year, and they've kind of kept on it. Ferrari massively changed their side pods. So I must say, I know side pods isn't the be all and end all, right? But Aston Martin haven't been able to, you know, started well this year, but haven't been able to kind of carry that through. Surely we do get to a point where, you know, because, you know, Checo won by like, sorry, he came second by like 6 seconds to Leclerc.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still able to bank that car advantage because I think Charles is a better driver than Checo. But at the end of the day, like, how much longer does this go on for, do we think, Pete?
It depends. I mean, when's the next regulation change? I think that's how it comes down to, because how did Red Bull lose it last time when Vettel was dominant? It was when everything changed and then Mercedes really pounced on the new regulations. Mm-hmm. I know 2026 is meant to be like a bit of a shake-up and whatnot, but I wouldn't put it past Red Bull getting it right again. And especially, you know, are they done with sort of fixing this car now? I think they're on to 2024 now. So it's unfortunate, but we're going to see a bit more of a dominance for the next. I want to give it, I'd say 2-3 years. And then
I reckon. But I don't think as dominant, I still think Red Bull would win.
There will be a closer.
When you say dominance, what do you mean by dominance?
I disagree in terms of, I think, because Max's dominance is what it is right now, but he's not even being challenged. And I think the moment other teams do get better and start to challenge Max Verstappen and the Red Bull team,
that's a whole new Max.
They will turn it up a notch. They're almost sandbagging, if you will. They've got a lot left in that tank.
Well, Max can drive within himself.
Yeah,
you know, relative to his. I mean, he can still. You know, GP was telling him to chill out on the tyres, right?
Yeah.
So he was pushing because he wanted to, because he could, and he still won by 20 seconds.
Yeah. And I don't trust,
teammate.
I don't trust, teammate, yeah. You know, we've watched Mercedes the last 2 years really be uncharacteristic. We've never seen Mercedes like this.
Never before. Seen them in the pits like this.
Yeah.
We've never seen
exactly.
Them in the dirt.
I think that's the one thing I will say, though. I think it is possible because we saw it with Mercedes, like the flip way around. You know, like if we look at Mercedes 2019 compared to like Mercedes 2021, they did leave that door open for Red Bull. You know, there is, and especially now we've got the cost cap. We've got the wind tunnel time as well. We will hopefully close people together.
Yeah.
I think there is a chance, and I genuinely don't think it won't be. Wait, hang on. Okay, let me rewind that sentence for a start. I genuinely don't think it'll be as dominant in say 2 years.
Okay,
you might still see Verstappen win the championship because he's a fucking alien.
Yeah,
but I don't think you'll have like 30-second victories because like I would like to imagine someone will have at least unlocked something.
Yeah,
but how much faster can you make a car as well? How much faster can you make
do
dominant vehicle? Okay, because We said on the stream that there's certain things that certain drivers do that make them better than the rest. That's why there's only a few of them in the world, right?
Mm.
But a lot of, you know, the winning does come from the car, and it's just that special talent inside of it. But how much faster can you make a car?
Yeah. Is there like a wall that you eventually
there is a theoretical ceiling to these regulations.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's like Red Bull are closest to that theoretical ceiling. I mean, you're never going to get there, but it's whether everyone else, and this is what I mean, like Mercedes have been changing stuff. Yeah. Ferrari have been changing stuff. Like McLaren have changed a lot. Like Red Bull haven't had to deviate. They've been on this path and everyone else is kind of going sideways and tripping over themselves, because it was always going to take the first year for there to settle on this. Okay, it's the Red Bull style philosophy, which is the best. I mean, Williams started the season last year with no side pods, like Mercedes did. Ferrari had their bathtubs. Like Aston Martin had some weird side pods. Remember the start of last year? Aston Martin side pods were proper weird.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah,
it's like they've all been changing, whereas Red Bull have been saying, and I think that's why now they've banked that, you know, Newey and that technical team at Red Bull just nailed it from the doors.
They don't need to explore any more options for that car.
They've got their option. Everyone else is now converging to that.
Yeah. They are jumping over the hurdles, correct. They've smashed it.
They smashed it. And the thing is as well, like they've got a lot more. They've got a lot more that we haven't seen yet. And I think as soon as everybody starts to pick up the pace, Red Bull will be like, well, yeah, you guys are about 2 months behind. Even if, for example, if you copy the Red Bull car exactly, for teams to get it as accurate and as well done as Red Bull have done it, it will take them some time anyway.
Red Bull have already made the next.
And they're next.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to be chasing the pack. I don't believe, you know, when you're saying how much faster can it really go? It's all about what's the competition. It's the competition relative, is what matters. So they could be 40 seconds ahead next year just because everybody else is flopping the base as they have done this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you hit that, it's when all these regulations change, as soon as that one team gets dominant, that's it, they're gone. Wait for the next regulations to come.
Yeah.
I know towards the end of the season, sort of the end of the term of the regulations, the teams get closer, which was what was quite kind of annoying about these regulations now, because we saw Red Bull versus Mercedes and we were seeing like Racing Point, for example.
Yeah. I wish we'd had one more year.
You know, if we had a couple more years of that, we would see a lot more of a closer thing. But this year, although the mid, so sort of P2 to P10 in the constructors is a lot closer, the one team that's hit the nail on the head is gone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they hit the nail on the head.
But saying that, the team that have hit the nail on the head has gone, but you've also got a number two driver finishing 20 seconds behind Max Verstappen. Now, like we said, certain, these talented drivers, there's only a few of them in the world. P2's fantastic for Checo. If he was 6 seconds behind Max or 4 seconds, you should not be 20 seconds behind your teammate.
That is actually a sick when they point, start because sixth. That sort of shows
when you start sixth. You said, when you start sixth, you shouldn't.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it took that's you if he'd started sixth and ended up first after like six laps. Fairs, okay, cool. You were leading for ages, whatever. I don't know, changeable conditions and stuff. But he didn't even overtake Perez until like lap 19.
Yeah.
So he had half a race to build up that lead, and he built up a whole pit stop.
Mm.
How far would he have been ahead
and look,
if he actually started from pole? It's nuts.
That's the thing, because I know a lot of, you know, Checo fans, I get it, right? You get defensive and protective over your driver. I felt it when Alex was getting slapped by Max in 2020, right?
Mm.
At the end of the day, that gap, that discrepancy, that percentage gap, if that's anywhere else on the grid, like, there's going to be words and...
Well, there were words and it was De Vries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got sacked.
And I don't know what that percentage gap was between Tsunoda and De Vries, but I can almost guarantee it's smaller than the gap between Verstappen and Perez. So what I'm saying is that it's not a problem for them now because, again, they started the regulations from a car point of view in a great place, and they've got Max, who is the best driver in F1 now, as far as I'm concerned. So
And he will be for a long time.
Yeah, and look, it's not a problem for them now. I do think, you know, now everyone's got this understanding, okay, this is the philosophy that works and we can all pull and everyone converges on this same philosophy. That's when these big gaps, I mean, again, net gap, if he finishes 20 seconds ahead of Checo starting P6, then the actual gap is, net gap is probably more like maybe 30.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And that shouldn't happen.
But I think that's another
reason.
That could
be a problem if other teams catch up. That's what I'm saying. They won't get P2 every time with Checo.
So they'll just swallow Checo as they catch up.
But and that's the thing, like, and we've already seen that through his mistakes as well. If he isn't like on it completely, you know, there are people there to take his place. But also even today, you know, we're talking about, Red Bull, the car is like so dominant and this and that and whatever. Perez finished 5 seconds ahead of Leclerc.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which was is not a dominant the entire victory. Race. And so, and we didn't even did we expect that much from Ferrari? Yeah, maybe challenge for a podium, but they're not like, I don't know. I just knew
Leclerc was in pole. I wasn't expecting him to get a podium. I'd be more surprised if he got it. I'll be less surprised if he didn't get it. So I'm not saying he never was going to get it. In terms of being surprised, I was like, oh, nice, they got a podium.
Yeah. Do you think but 5 seconds is nothing? Like, realistically, over the course of a race, like,
no.
What is it? We
could have a worse car and finish 5 seconds out of someone else.
We saw when Max parked up after winning, he was already out of his car before Charles pulled in, right?
Before Ricciardo and Tsunoda crossed the finish.
He was out, mate. Yeah, yeah. He weighed himself. He was chilling. He had a glass of bubbly. It was sorted.
A little bit of bubbly.
Shoes off.
It all depends on this as well, though. What is the best Checo we've seen since he's been at Red Bull? And where do you rank him in the top, say, six drivers on the grid? Or top 10 even, if we're going to have to go
that far. First five of the year, he was really good. He was more than 20, again, four or five races, more than 20 seconds clear of the rest, which is a dominant victory. Yeah. Like, that victory relative to the next non-Red Bull.
It's actually fallen apart since Miami.
So, and that Miami must have, like, stung.
It just must have scarred.
It's mental with him, because you've got, you know, whether it's a podcast like this, whether it's Twitter or X or whatever it's called, or just live
fuck
chat.
That.
Saying, saying his job's on the line. Mate, it's mental. It's all in his head. And can he come back from this? I don't know, man. I don't see him at Red Bull. Someone said at the start of the stream, was it you who said end of next season he's gone? Or start of the season?
It was you. I would still, if I had to put money on it today, I'd put Ricciardo to replace Perez at the end of this
year.
Especially
when Yuki... How many places? Was he like 8 places in front of him?
Oh, yeah. Yuki had the better race, yeah. But Ricciardo's had 2 races in that.
I just feel in terms of Ricciardo
did the better job last week.
But I just feel in terms of longevity, Yuki would be perfect. Or Lando for that Red Bull seat.
That's what I mean,
we just said, this is not helping Checo's head at all, because we're now said about who's going to take his seat, not if someone's going to take his seat, who is going to take his seat.
I think Yuki's taken too long to. Right now, I think he's at a good level where he could step into that Red Bull and do a good second driver job fairly close to Checo, maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No more than that. It's taken him, like, he got slapped by Gasly first year. I'm a big Tsunoda fan, right? But at the end of that, I think he's if there's an option like Lando, that could present themselves, you've got to go Lando. And I think Ricciardo's the only teammate who's maybe, okay, Sainz at the early days at Toro Rosso, but like Ricciardo, even then, like Verstappen definitely had the legs on Sainz in those early days. Like Ricciardo's the only teammate since Max has had time in F1 and matured in like 2017, 18, who's been anywhere near Max. And he would beat Max on his, like, on Ricciardo's day,
he could beat Max. He's won a Belgian, isn't he?
Ricciardo has won at Belgium.
2018, 19?
Yeah, I remember what year it was. He has won at Belgium, yeah. And like Monaco, when he, like, 2 years in a row where he should have won that first year, and then Hamilton got the win. And the second year, he
done it,
like, slapped it. Like, he's the only teammate who's gone toe-to-toe with Max. And I just think, with all this, what we're talking about, Red Bull have to anticipate that everyone's going to catch up. They have to plan for that, surely. They can't just be like, oh, we'll be fine for the next 3 years. We can just keep it. Like, because that gap's too big. If Checo was finishing within, 5 to 10 seconds of Max in these kind of conditions, like, okay, you can probably accept that. Yeah. But to be 20 seconds ahead after starting sixth, and Checo was leading at the end of the first lap, like,
I think, but I think the main problem with Checo is more so mental than it is actual talent, because I think there is a point in the season where Checo goes ahead again by 10 seconds ahead of any non-Red Bull car behind. I think we will see... we will see moments of Checo's start to the season come in the second half of the season. I don't think Checo is done and dusted yet.
Yeah, but he's not reliable then, is he? He's not reliable.
Yeah, like,
I mean, Red Bull were like, Max is going to win. Where's Checo going to? What do you think about Checo?
You're bang on, but what Red Bull driver since Max has been there has been reliable?
They've
all failed.
And I'm going to pose a question, Can it? Are we actually just approaching a point where we just realize, I don't actually know if anyone can do this job? Because, like, when I looked at Sergio Perez, right, when he was at Force India, at Racing Point, whatever, he was always that guy where I was like, okay, if there's something crazy happens in this race, I know I can rely on him to pull something out of the bag. Even if something crazy doesn't happen, I know he'll finish like 7th, 6th,
getting a point.
5th, points, consistent, da-da-da. We're not even seeing that from him this season. We didn't see it in his first season either at Red Bull.
No.
No.
So if a guy who actually has showed consistency all the way through his career to a point that he's now actually an experienced, you classify him as experienced driver. If he can't do it,
would you,
I don't know how many people can
would you consider,
do it.
Would also, you consider him an older driver?
There's just a lot of young drivers
he's
in the grid right now.
Is that right? Yeah. Because there's a lot of young and he's on the
Is he 30 yet?
Checo's 32.
Okay,
right. I think he's the same. Him and Ricciardo and Bottas are all about the same age.
Right. That makes me feel so shit as well. Here's me working on radio two, three days a week, and these boys are just like same age, 80 million in the bank. Should have done karting, mum.
Why not?
So Verstappen is gonna, like we've talked about this before, this period that he's in his career will be looked at as one of the greatest to ever do it. This is going to happen, right? He's already on that trajectory. You've got Albon, Gasly and Checo, all great F1 drivers who in time will, you know, fall into the memory bank of drivers who were good in F1 and had their odd days and had their odd podiums, and they were good, and Checo's got a few wins, right? And there's plenty of drivers. You look through the history of F1, there's so many drivers who tick those boxes, won a few races, your Trullis, your Webbers, your Fisichellas, all these, right?
Good names.
But like...
Great, yeah.
They've done well. Like that. Yeah. That's good.
But then there's that top tier, there's that the Schumachers, the prime Vettels, the Hamiltons.
Is it the ones that would never consider any other racing league than F1? It's like, you know, the ones you just named before that. Oh, I can do Formula E. I can do Indy. These boys would never consider it because they're in a different league.
Yeah, and there's that discrepancy. And the only driver that's got close to Max in equal machinery, and yes, it was a while ago and Max has improved since then, but is Ricciardo. Yeah. And Ricciardo was the one who came in, by the way, and beat Vettel. In 2014, remember Vettel just walked 2013. Vettel was like the golden boy rebel. Ricciardo came in, won 3 races that year. Vettel didn't win any. Like, he came in and destabilized and took over that team. Ricciardo was that guy, and you could argue that if Red Bull had a better engine, mainly, isn't it? Because their aero has never been the problem.
Yeah.
Better engine in those years, he would have been the one. Yeah, he was the one finishing third behind Rosberg and Hamilton. He was the one there. So if Mercedes didn't have such an engine advantage in that particular era, like, Ricciardo would have been the one picking up the pieces and maybe won a couple of world titles if things are going to be differently. So it's like, Ricciardo was that guy, and Perez and Albon and Gasly, they're very good, very good. And there's a loads of very, very good F1 drivers, but to be that top echelon where you got Hamilton and Verstappen and Vettel and all that.
He's eating the countdown book.
We've had Cameron on this podcast too much.
I'm learning. You've got to get him back because
he'll be like,
I'm discombobulated by what I've just seen.
Yeah.
I cannot begin to fathom
absolutely
the experience. Oh, mate, he's
brilliant. We love you, Cam.
Get him in countdown corner. He'll be brilliant. If it's easy, then be wicked.
But you know, that's what I'm saying. I think Ricciardo has been that one driver who's, you know, potentially, again, it's not worked out for him, but there was a stage where he was being considered as like, he could be the next Vettel.
Yeah.
Like, and he came in and slapped up Vettel in 2014. I'm not being funny. So he has shown that.
There's two things in that. Yes, it was a long time ago. And who knows, like Christian Horner said, when he took the car out, he would have been frontline at Silverstone. Fine. Okay. Mm. But I also feel like, you know, he came and slapped Vettel when he was the next golden boy. Mentally, when Max came in, Max is now the golden boy. I've been in that situation as well, in some other jobs as well. When you get someone new coming and they come and tread on your toes, mentally, you're not in the right place. So maybe if Max came in a little bit later, we might have seen more from Daniel Ricciardo, but I also feel like it was half, he's already lost the battle because Max is now the next big golden boy. And that's not to take away. And I've given Daniel Ricciardo a lot of stick in terms of his quality at Red Bull from a fan's perspective, from someone that's not really like dives down into the nitty gritty of it. I saw Max coming in to take his crown. Max has taken his crown. And if I was Danny, I would have jumped too. And I feel like
Christian said he was running from a fight.
From a fight.
That's the line.
But then again, there's some fights. Where you think, can I actually win it? Maybe that was the best.
Because Verstappen wasn't slapping up Ricciardo. Like that, they were scrapping. They were fighting.
I
think he just knew down the line, it's just not going to end up.
Where he felt the team was moving to. I mean, Max, Red Bull. Not Red Bull Racing so much. Red Bull have gone all in on Max.
Like, he is just...
When you've got Big Daddy Red Bull, like, really in Verstappen's camp.
That's,
But then Ricciardo's, like, such a big personality as well. I don't know.
But here's the bottom line. Checo is better than Danny Ricciardo today. That's the bottom line. Whether or not Danny Ricciardo in the last couple of years, and you know,
do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you had a top 10, convinced. If you had a top 10 drivers list, Checo is ahead of Danny.
I mean, Ricciardo's had two races.
No, no, what I mean, but no, sorry.
I believe, I could be talking bollocks, but I reckon Ricciardo would do.
Talking bollocks?
I reckon Ricciardo would do a better job than Perez in that Red Bull today. I believe that.
Do you know what? But I agree that as well. I do agree that as well. I think it's in terms of the situation he's in. Checo's in this mental state of, oh my God, someone's going to take my seat. Danny Ricciardo's in the mental state of, I can take his seat.
Yeah.
You know, if you think it's so close, that's why I think it's when you say someone to challenge Max, we'll see a different, better, speedier Max. Yeah. That's what it is. Because it's so close to Danny Ricciardo, he would outperform. Because it's so far away from Checo, he's underperforming. So that's a completely different scenario. I think if it was the reverse scenario, when Checo could be barging on Danny Ricciardo's seat, for instance, years ago, it would be completely different. But I just think it's based on the situation that we're in. That's why I agree with you.
No, I agree with that as a statement, but I do think today Sergio Perez is a better driver. I just think that, like you said, the mental gymnastics that Sergio is going through right now. If you were to theoretically put Daniel Ricciardo in that Red Bull, I think he would do better. Mm. But I don't think that means that he's...
It just means
the better driver right now. Yeah. I think it's just something that would refresh like Red Bull as a team. I think Daniel Ricciardo would come in and take that opportunity. He's raced against Max before.
Absolutely.
And I think Sergio is mentally, I mean, that result will have helped today,
sure,
to
absolutely.
Be fair.
Big.
Going into a summer break, he can kind of reset a little bit. He's got a second on the board.
Still P2 in the championship.
By a long, he's still P2, but I think... Yeah, man, that's crazy.
We agree. I agree with you. Danny Ricciardo would do a better job now in that Red Bull than Checo has done this season. But it just means that Checo's had a bad season.
Ricciardo is a better driver than Sergio Perez today?
Remember 2020 Checo. Remember 2021 Checo. 2022 Checo versus Danny Ricciardo those years. I'm sorry. Checo's better than Ricciardo.
Based on today, I agree with you today, but I think Pete's nailed it. But... I don't know.
Ricciardo's got, I think Ricciardo's proven the highest ceiling of the two. I think, you know, Checo's had these moments of, you know, again, when he won at Bahrain in the Force India Racing Point, wherever it was. Yeah. And like coming through the back, like Checo's had his amazing moments. I just think that if you're going to, again, if you're anticipating that everyone else is going to catch up and be in with... I just feel like Ricciardo, it's a different mentality, right? Because Ricciardo left from a position of he took the decision to leave and take the bag at Renault and bank on that opportunity and then move to, which he should never have gone to McLaren from there in the first place, obviously in hindsight. But I think that, obviously Perez is the one who's kind of got this pressure. All of those little sound bites from Christian Horner, that's all, I've no doubt in my mind, that's all intentional. That's all to sow the seeds. To see if Checo can deal with the heat, the Red Bull, like, and I'm just saying that Ricciardo's the only teammate who's like been there and gone toe-to-toe with Max and consistently like been there.
Sorry, but this was Max years ago. The Max you've got now is a different machine, bro.
I don't think he's much quicker. I think he's more well-rounded, but his pace, you see some of the moves he was putting in like 2016, 15. Yeah. But what's the one Brazil around the outside of Rosberg in the wet. Like, Verstappen's talent is like, he's been talented from day dot, man. 2018 Verstappen, talent-wise. But I think he's more well-rounded. I think he can just make all that better.
Like, you can just like pummel you into the ground now.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The
mentality monster. Like, what he's trying to pull today, that's all.
Yeah.
Asserting authority, dominance in that team.
So, but in terms
of... I can have fun and win P6 and just fuck about and do it.
Yeah. In terms of Checo then, right? So Checo leaves. What's his next path? Because... From what I've seen, if we take the Danny Ricciardo path, is that he's gone from the top and he's gone down through the ranks and then he's ultimately gone from McLaren, but now he's back in these many, this is a very rare occasion this has happened. Mm-hmm. So Checo, right? He's at top. Where does he go next? Then where does he go after that? Ultimately until he leaves. So I feel as if, I don't know where I'd put Checo if he wasn't at Red Bull. That's the thing.
There'll be takers.
I don't know where to put him. I don't know where.
I mean, it won't be as good as a Red Bull, obviously.
No, of course,
it won't be anywhere near a team that's...
Would it be like Alfa Romeo or...
I think it would be in that the Alpine might be the one that's like the
I was
best.
Thinking Alpine, but Alpine. No one's underachieving at Alpine. That's the problem.
Yeah, because we've said right. all these good drivers that are just happy doing their bit in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For them teams, you know, they're happy with them results ultimately. They know they're not going to win. So why would they mess around? Why would they mess around with something that doesn't need
just
to be...
He's a money driver as well, isn't he? He will bring a lot of dough to any team.
True, he's Mexican, isn't he? He's old in Mexico.
Yeah. The thing is as well, though, the Checo that was signed to Red Bull to the Checo today feel like two different guys. And I think the only problem is that he's mentally just been shot to pieces, especially this season. And I think until we get... I don't want to say the real Checo back, but I just want Checo to sort of come back as we know him to be on a bog standard day. Mm. When we get that version, P2s will be all around. Then maybe once in a blue moon fight with Max. He has won races this year, by the way. So it's not like he's
not down and out.
He's not down
he's just
and out.
Not Max. He's that's just, the thing. He's just not Max.
That's my point of kind of like, there's probably two drivers on this grid right now that you could actually slap in a Red Bull and they wouldn't get their ass handed to them.
Yeah.
Like
Leclerc.
Leclerc, Lewis, Norris, Lando. Probably.
Yeah.
There's a few.
Honestly,
I think
Perez knew he wasn't Verstappen. You know, in terms of, I wouldn't say respect, in terms of like priority and name and buzz is where at the end of last season where there was that message on the radio, you know my plan, I'm not going to talk about it and stuff like that, where I think Perez realised he's never going to be that guy. Mm. He's never going to have that priority. And I feel like that's really stuck with him this season. Mm. I could be completely wrong. I know that would stick with me. If I didn't get backed by my team, in the moment I needed it the most. Because if he would have gone round him, if he would have let him through, he would have got, what, Peter? Was it P2? He would have basically got, or he would have been whatever.
Yeah, it would have nailed on second in the championship.
And I feel like part of it is, well, I think Ricardo, in this stage of his career, where he left and it went wrong and he's coming, he would be more likely than Checo to accept that. Because like Daniel Ricciardo, like if he wants a shot at the Red Bull, he can't expect to be like that would be ridiculous. Like he can't expect to be like priority over Max. Like he knew why he left, and he knows why he wants to come back because he wants a chance fighting at the front again. That's all they can promise him. They can't promise him anything more than that. They'd be silly to. But also,
we'll promise to put him in a fast car.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
But that's it. That's all they can promise him is the seat. But what I would say as well is regarding Ricciardo, I do think you know Red Bull is. Stellar, very, very good, like his whole time there. You know, Renault, really good his whole time there. McLaren didn't work, still won a race. At the end of the day, right? You've got
That is mad when you put it like that.
There's many an instance.
Still won that race.
There's so many of an instances, right? Of great drivers having the wrong package, the wrong car at the wrong time. Yeah. So again, Vettel 2014, Red Bull, Vettel 2020 Ferrari. Like, I'm not being funny, like these are two really big blots in his...
Yes.
In his CV, yet 2013 Red Bull, 2011 Red Bull, he was untouchable.
Mm.
And it's so much of like, if you get the wrong car at the wrong time and you're the wrong driver, you can be. But at the end of the day, none of it is as wrong as what's going on at Alpine at the minute.
That's a good thing.
We've talked about that. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, the Ricciardo years at Alpine were cooking, but then he left, and then Fernando left, and then Oscar left, and Otmar's left, and Pomaine's left.
Pretty much everyone else
has left. I've just got nothing left. Otmar's sitting there, bless him.
I actually know a guy who works...
He's just
for Alpine. I like message him, just make sure he's all right.
You still there, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. It's Pete. I know we've talked about McLaren versus Alpine in the past, and they've been your kind of and
enemy.
Are you surprised as a McLaren fan? I know obviously you've got a particular eye on Alpine as your kind of biggest rivals over recent years. Are you surprised by this?
I'm surprised at the magnitude of this. Yeah, I must admit, even I'm surprised. I mean, Alpine, Renault, you know, they've always had. This about them. There's always been a circus going on. When you go back to like even the Cyril days, and when you come, you know, the whole Renault engine with Red Bull, the beef with obviously with Laurent Rossi, you know, this idea that we're going to have 100 races to win. Like they seem to just put things out there that nobody was even searching for. But thank you very much for giving us this information.
Nobody asked for the
nobody asked. But listen, if you want to if you want to give it to us, hey, we'll take it. They are a disaster. That team has been a disaster. for a long time. And it's been very, you know, like normally it's like behind the scenes, it's a disaster, whereas up front, they kind of still look like they're intact. But this is the time where we're seeing it all blow up.
Time for a buyout?
I mean, listen, since Ryan Reynolds has come in and his team, it's like, hang on a minute, things have just been getting shaky over there. Now, whether that's anything to do with it, I don't know. Is 20% big enough to have a say in anything? Who knows? But just watch that space. I think there's something else going on brewing behind the scenes, whether the an Andretti situation, I don't know. But they for, you know, I mean, we came to Belgium and it's like, was it Wednesday the news broke out about Otmar?
Which is a very random time.
It was random, it was bizarre. And it's surely the last thing Alpine want is any heat on them this weekend, because every man and his dog is going to ask what's going on at Alpine. You know?
Do you think that decision came quickly? Like,
it was Friday, by the way, that came out.
Or was it Friday?
So even worse.
It's even worse.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think they just said, okay, Otmar is leaving, press conference, or Otmar's leaving? Have we known about this for a long time, or do you think it was just like a very quick decision?
My understanding is that there was rumors that, you know, Otmar's job was untenable, especially with what happened with Rossi. I know Rossi and his relationship was a bit shaky warrior a little bit, but then it seemed like, when Rossi's gone, all right, now we're going to start, we can now move on and crack on. But then the in terms of like, only the reports were saying that Otmar can't keep his job, because look at the results of Alpine this season and last season. They shouldn't really be, they're meant to be a team challenging for the championship. And that's the first problem.
Yeah,
why was that even
so high?
The goal, but they were high when Danny Ricciardo went to Renault. Because remember when Ricciardo went to Renault, it was like, I was sitting there like, you've got to be like, Horner's right. You're just running away from a fight. Because why have you joined Renault? But then when he started talking about Renault, you know, the facilities are amazing here. It's a really big team. It makes Red Bull look kind of small. And so he thought like, you know, I'm going to be challenging to fight for podiums and win races. Yeah. And then it got to the point where Cyril was betting on him not ever making a podium. And if he did, I'll get a tattoo. For crying out loud. Like that's
actually the level. When you think of it like that, that's actually crazy.
But Renault is more like the
I bet you. And we're worried about Christian Horner saying, oh, Danny Ricciardo's quite fast. You've got Cyril saying, yeah, got a needle. Get a podium.
He got fucking two in a row as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got two podiums.
Yeah, he got two that year. And it's like, because I was very much like, wait, Cyril, what are you saying really? Are you saying that
what's the implication?
You don't believe in your drivers to get this podium?
I just really wanted to get a tattoo.
Yeah. Low key. Do you know what I mean?
So the missus, like, look, I'm sorry, I have to now.
It's the best with Danny. I have to
listen. The truth of the matter is, like I was saying, like, you know, this, you have to smell the coffee with Alpine, and we should have been doing that from day one, especially with the Oscar Piastri situation last year, especially with Fernando Alonso leaving Alpine to go to Aston Martin at that time was crazy.
That was a crazy
move.
It was like a message.
Yeah,
this must be fucked.
It's more from Stroll. From
statement of intent. Well.
Yeah. Statement of intent, yeah.
We can take your boy.
Even if we're quite a bit slower, at least at the end of last year.
They'd
caught up somewhat by the end of the year, but they started kind of like,
they definitely did,
so
but remember that Alpine at the start of last year, it was a rocket launcher. It just couldn't stay on the track.
Yeah,
like, but it was so fast. And it was like, why would Alonso leave them to go to Aston Martin? It looks like a master.
It all makes sense now.
But I remember what you were saying. It was like, it was more of a communication thing. I'm not sure if, it's entirely true, but I feel like they just didn't offer anything, or if they didn't offer it.
What, with Fernando?
Yeah, with Fernando. I think because said in time.
Fernando said
I
when he left.
A year
he, Fernando claims he was, which maybe this is true. To be fair, I wouldn't be. He was like, I felt like I was doing Alpine a favour because I know they wanted Piastri because Alpine were going to loan Piastri to Williams. That was already agreed.
Yeah.
But then Fernando was like, oh, well, there's an opportunity, big bag at Aston Martin, probably. Lawrence Stroll project. Okay, maybe I don't believe in Alpine. I'm going to go. You can get Piastri in and it all works. But then McLaren had already tapped Piastri up because obviously Piastri and Mark Webber is Piastri's agent.
Yeah.
So they'd already negotiated that deal with McLaren, which is obviously looking like amazing now.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't at the start of the year, but things changed quickly in Formula 1.
Well, you don't think it was at the start of the year?
McLaren was bad at the start of the year.
No, as in, who are you saying bad on Piastri or on McLaren signing Piastri?
Oh, no, it was a bad decision from Piastri.
It looked like the start of the year.
Yeah, where they were like,
obviously now that's saying things change quickly.
Piastri's incredibly talented for a rookie.
So good. Yeah, man.
Like,
when they let go. They had him. They had him out right there.
They didn't.
Yeah, but the thing is, okay, from what we've seen in this new car, is Piastri's talent and that now amazing car just go hand in hand so well? You know, we just said like some drivers don't do well in some cars. Some drivers do incredibly well in standard cars, in bog standard cars. Maybe I mean, it's earlier, just his talent. That's the difference.
The only argument I'll make there is just the gap between Norris and Ricciardo, and then the gap between Norris and Oscar. Even when the car was bad, Oscar was, I mean, we were celebrating. We were celebrating because it's like there's somebody who can actually have a conversation with Norris. You know, Ricciardo was nowhere near
I think Norris for in terms for a long of time. At the start of the season, McLarens were both as bad as each other.
Yeah.
Before that, it was a chalk and cheese.
Yeah. I feel like, it was like one in every maybe 3-4 races, Ricciardo would be close to Lando. I remember like Baku, Australia, obviously when, and I'm talking over two seasons, by the way. Monza when Ricciardo won. Like there were those moments where Daniel could make it work, but also more often than not, it didn't work for him. Piastri's doing a great job. Otmar's gone. I want to read Otmar's quote just in case anyone listening hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
So this is regarding more time, because I do think, you know, Otmar, he joined at the start of last season, which from a team principle to make the changes you need, I would argue that's not maybe long
only,
enough.
It was only been a year and a half.
Yeah, because he
was less than mine the year before.
Yeah. Right. And he dropped him right at the end of the year. So he said that he deserves more time. Changes take time. I signed some good people from other teams, but they won't join until 24, 25. I always say you can't get 9 women pregnant and hope to have a baby in a month.
Which is a very weird saying to say all the time. That's probably one of the reasons why it's been sat. It's like, stop talking about having sex with 9 women in a month. Stop it.
We know you've done it. On the car. Fine.
Yeah. All right. The HR department, we can't take it no more. Yeah.
It gives me like, put it away. Jay from In Between is energy.
Yeah.
He's like, bullshit. Yeah,
he's like on the radio. Oh, yeah. What's turn one like? Don't matter. See ya. Done her.
Otmar, stop. No.
I gave her on route.
That's enough. I understand his point, what he's trying to make, right? His analogy is a bit weird, but you know, given the time to, you know, he was Force India for like over 10 years or something, like the amount of time he had in that team to really make it his own. But I actually, for me, when I hear about his relationship with Rossi, Prost's breakdown of relationship with Rossi as well, and then I look at Ferrari and the, you know, upper management interfering with the race team, I feel like there's maybe a bit of similarities going on there.
Well, they are the Ferrari of the mid-table.
They're the same team.
It's just the same.
They are the same team. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They are just both two teams that are so unserious. It's got so much unserious personnel, and all the resources are there. The tools are there. They've got a good car. They've got good drivers. They've got what they can to at least have a conversation. I mean, to be swinging with McLaren this year, before McLaren, by the way, is upgrades, there was still like having a fight with McLaren.
Hmm. Well, I'd argue, wasn't it Spain where they were like basically with the top four teams and they were like 5 seconds off, and it was like, oh shit, Alpine might have arrived here.
It's weird,
but
they arrived a little bit later. They did arrive late, not on time.
And this is a manufacturer. We're talking about maybe McLaren, Lando's maybe could lose a bit of confidence knowing that there'll be a customer to Mercedes, right? They're a manufacturer, man.
They've got
pedigree in this sport. They won the titles with Fernando. They were knocking about in the 80s, and like Renault a part of this sport, and they should be doing so much more than they are. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, in that little Enstone base, I don't know how much they can achieve there. I don't know what the limit is of that facility.
Wee bonbon merchant.
So
they are so underperformed. They underperform so much. It's ridiculous. It's always been about potential. It's always been about being P3. They've never sniffed it.
But also, I think so much of it is the politics. I mean, I've got a Prost quote. So again, Alain Prost was at the team almost like figurehead, similar in a way to, in some ways to how Niki Lauda had his relationship with Mercedes. Yeah. I think Prost was a little bit more involved because he used to have his own F1 team, remember?
Prost
Prix in the 90s.
Good old days, man.
It was shocking.
And so his quotes around Laurent Rossi, who now exited as CEO of Alpine. An inept manager who thinks he can overcome his incompetence with his arrogance and lack of humanity towards his people. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4 like insults. Proper pars there.
If someone really called me inept, deep. I've got no comeback for
There's
that.
There's no comeback
Second
for that.
Word of the Second, whole sentence as well.
He's inept. I can't come back from inept.
Inept, incompetent,
you can call me a
arrogant,
twat, anything, inept.
Lack of humanity.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... That speaks volumes. I mean,
he said it so politely as well.
It was such calm, doesn't he?
He said it in such, like, so distinguished how he said it.
He's practiced like, it in the mirror.
I feel like I, if he said it about me, I'd just agree with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah,
you might be onto something then, mate.
Exactly.
I find it a bit odd as well when he left, because it was like, well, why would they get rid of someone like that? It, you know, the experience, the mind, the brain that he would probably
just
have.
As a figurehead.
A figurehead, absolutely. Yeah. Like, how you would get rid of him was strange. But I don't think we should be surprised anymore. I think now we've seen a massive bomb go off there. So it's like, okay, now everybody treats Alpine the way I think now we should be. But we should have been here a very long time ago.
Yeah.
We should have been here since 2018, 19.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, you pulled off the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
We know who you are.
Yeah, we know.
That's the thing, like, I like the team. I want to see this is a team that's been around for time. Tolman, Benetton, Lotus, like, you know, they've had their moments, obviously, with Fernando. Yeah. Even when, like, you know, when Vettel was winning all the time, they had that with Kimi in it. That Lotus was,
yes,
I remember that was quality.
Yeah.
Oh,
Kimi and Grosjean. Like, I love that.
Kimi nearly bankrupts Lotus in terms of bonuses.
Is that
a true story?
I think he parred it off as well. I think he just forgave it. He waived it.
Yeah, so it was
mad.
Yeah, for every point or whatever, he would get a certain payout, and then he just turned on the flames. Yeah,
he just said, "Oh, is that right?"
What you used to do is hang a little fiver in front of Kimi.
I'm leaving it with something.
What's the fee you heard that he could have gotten bonuses? I've heard a crazy number, but I don't know if it's true.
I heard
70 million.
I heard it would have just bankrupted.
I heard 70 million. I read 70 million, and I thought, Jesus, that's bonus,
maybe.
If they offered that, though, they kind of deserved it. I'm not going to lie. A point bonus, bro?
That's remember, like me.
You know how many points you get in Formula 1?
That's like me on like FIFA being stupid, trying to sign Mbappe to like Leicester or something. Yeah, I'll give you £1 million bonus per goal. Yeah. All right, Got you.
Right. So remember who Lotus Renault were before? And then remember the 08 Renault? Remember the 09 Renault? Like, come on. Like, this team was hell on earth for a while.
So Raikkonen scored 390 points over 2 years of that team.
Fucking hell.
And I guess how much per point?
Oh, is it 10 million a point?
No, not quite.
100,000?
50,000 euros per point.
That is insane.
Which means he was going 19.5 million.
Okay, 19 million.
Which to a team like this, like, again,
would have been a game.
Small team. Changed. And this is, you know, back 19.5 million in euros today is a lot more than 90, like with inflation as well. But yeah, he just kind of, he took
loud it
enough. Oh, but I'd like to think, fair
that's
enough.
History, by the way, guys.
Don't get all these, people, like all these people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
But I'm getting my bag. Like, Kimi's got a good heart deep down.
Yeah, I hear that.
This is Alpine we're talking about. It's the same team. Yeah, we should have seen this coming.
What do you think? There's been rumors of Binotto.
Save yourself, Mattia. Please, Mattia, don't.
He's already
looking directly at the camera as well.
Do you know why? Because like,
it's a helpline. 0800, save him.
Because you know me, I'm like anti-Ferrari. For the backup, right? I'm anti-Ferrari. But I felt so sorry for him at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because yes, he was clowned and everything else. But have you seen their politics? Have you gone behind the scenes of Ferrari?
Yeah. I don't think a man can survive being at Ferrari Alpine back to back.
No, that's too much.
Was he jumping out of the pan and into the flames or something? And it's like,
exactly. It's not, please don't. It's Mattia.
That's not the same at all, what I've just said. I have confidence in something.
I got it, bang on.
Well, I'm trying to think, apart from if it's not Binotto, because they need a team. Well, they've just got a new Zak Brown.
Yeah.
Now they need a new Andrea Stella.
Who's the new Zak Brown again?
Something Kreef. I can't remember his first name.
That's right. Already a bad start.
And then there's another.
Already a bad start.
There's another Don as well that they've got in there who's been there a while. I think he just moved up.
Oh, yes.
They had his camera on him literally the other day.
Yeah.
They were just focusing on him.
But isn't this quite weird that we don't know this? This is how we treat him. We don't know this.
They change so often.
Because
I can't keep tabs, man.
No, honestly, I was learning Rossi last year. Do you know what I mean?
So like every 2 years, the whole roster
and
changes.
And more changes to the Sugar Babes, mate. Yeah. That was going on.
Yeah. I mean, Permain gone, Fry. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Permain was at that team since 89.
I can't believe that, mate.
89.
Man.
34 years of service.
So if we
10
talk...
10 years less than you've been on this...
Wow. Wow, Niran.
If we
you almost give a fucking driving license out and prove to the world my actual age. You don't prove.
Yeah. If we talk about this input, though, of this big consortium of investors.
Yeah. Yes.
What are they expecting the new and improved American, Canadian, Alpine investors to be to look like?
Maybe this is all part of their new series.
Maybe they just messed up because Amazon are in the pit lane. They're doing everything.
Yeah.
Sacked half their staff just to pay for Amazon for a new show. Who knows?
As soon as you see that, what is that consortium called? What is that group called? Is it Redbird or something like that?
What is this one? The Wrexham
one?
I can't remember.
If we see more percentage go up in that team, then you know what time it is. You know what's coming.
Ryan Reynolds Motorsport.
Yeah, it's, you know, or just the, yeah, I think that
Deadpool.
It's time for Renault to go. We're done with them. I'm finished.
Do you not think like it's great for that investment group? Now this might seem more for more entertainment purposes, but when they do get that Amazon deal, they've taken them from the bottom and got them somewhere. You never know.
The team.
These are actors, man. These are entertainment people.
Bring the Wrexham story back. It is a weird one that because you've got that consortium that's come, that independent consortium. Then you've got it, but it's also owned by Renault, like big Renault.
Oh, good.
Who own like that? Like they own tons of like Renault's huge, right? As an organization, they're a manufacturer. It did seem like I could have pictured it more with like a Haas, like a little independent, and like Reynolds and that coming in, with their consortium for that. Yeah, but with Alpine, that seemed like a bit of a weird one.
Maybe Alpine, maybe they're getting ready to sell up.
Could be.
And you know, is the consortium largely American? Well, North American, really? Is it?
Seems to be. Because like Michael B. Jordan's in there as well, I think. I think, right, it makes a lot of sense for them to sell that space, that factory in Enstone.
Sell one of them.
They make their engines in France anyway. So they already have two different facilities, Renault. Just move that all to Viry in France and then just sell Enstone to Andretti, which gives more credit to their application to come into F1.
Yeah.
And then, and they've already got an engine deal agreed between them. So there's already a relationship there between Andretti and Renault.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you really hate Andretti so much? I think it would be brilliant.
I love it. I think it's more of a financial pot
at the end of it.
All the other F1 teams are just like, we want more money.
I think it'd be well good.
Yeah.
Why is everyone hating?
We want it.
Just put more money in the pot to spread it out.
I want to ask Toto that question. I'll be like, all of the fans want an 11th team.
Yeah.
Why do you not want to listen to the fans, Toto?
Yeah.
Why do you care more about...
Like, how the fuck did you get here? How did you get in here?
Get out of my toilet.
Where the fuck is security? Who let Toto in here?
Yeah.
This shit. Fuck off.
So yeah, it can't just purely be for the pot, is it? Is that all it really is?
I feel like that's the main headline, and that's the greed of the sport, which we spoke about weeks ago. It's very, very greedy sport, but I think it'd be brilliant. I think it'd be so good.
Yeah,
we'll see. We've talked about this on here before. How like I think the sport needs to do more to tell these stories. Again, Wrexham, they're just like a little national league team, right, and they've made people care. So like, I think if the teams really want to make us care about, you know, Yuki finishing P10 by like telling that story in a proper way. Like, yes, these teams have their own YouTube channels and they do
not
it
in a
bit
drive to survive way where it's Will Buxton cutting every 2 seconds. No shade at Will, a little bit maybe, but like,
but the way they do it with Wrexham, the way they do it with like All or Nothing, with all these different like football teams that are doing it now, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a good way of getting people to care about these smaller teams.
One thing I think would be amazing for the sport is obviously it's very expensive to watch anyway. I saw a figure the other day, actually. It's like £25 a month on like Now TV. It's a lot of money. I think it might be a tenner on F1.
It's more on Sky, yeah.
Yeah, it's more on Sky. We get all the packages and stuff. But maybe you need to add a camera in, you know, the garages or, you know, add it on the pit wall so we can tune in live to see how they react. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for Sky, who obviously have all the rights or whatever, to show us reactions 20 seconds later. I want to watch Toto live as we see a move. I want that. Give us more. You want us to spend more. Give us 100%. More.
I could not tell 100%. You what Andrea Stella is like as a person. Apart from his name is Andrea Stella.
He's a bad man. That's what he is. You know what I'm saying? He comes in
he's
there
quietly cooking.
Do you know
he's
what I mean? Cooking, like, there's just, I don't know. Like, obviously, certain big characters of like the non-drivers, people that work in the teams or the team principals. You've got Gunter Steiner. You've got a clear character there. You've got Christian Horner. You've got Toto Wolff and stuff. But largely, these are guys that have been in the sport for fucking years. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, even Gunter Steiner has been in F1 for, like, what, 20 years now?
Yeah.
And it's just like, do I really have to wait that long to find out some kind of story about a team that's not necessarily winning? I don't know.
I feel like the teams are getting there. I mean, you know, Cal and Josh adds, you know, Oscar on the pod, on Fellas. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I've done a video with them too now. You do quadrant stuff with Lando. I feel like they're getting there, but at the end of the day, there's not enough. These personalities exist. You don't need to manufacture it. I mean, we used to have the driver briefings covered. They were great. That's probably awkward, like funny moments. Why don't we get that anymore?
Is it like when you should grass everyone up?
Yeah, we should grass everyone up.
Can you tell us who went off the tracks there?
There's that Checo meme, isn't it? What have you done?
Can't believe it.
And look, I think part of it is because the teams themselves don't like that stuff being broadcast. I'm sorry, but if it's gonna give the fans what they want without the fans, you don't have a job.
But also,
we should be prioritizing.
You've just got to be careful because a lot of these teams have who are considered old heads and archaic heads, you know, at the top. And once you mix, I would love to see more entertainment. I'm a presenter, I'm a DJ, I'm into music. So I love the entertainment side of it as well as seeing the racing, of course.
Yeah.
But when you mix both, imagine, say for instance, Vettel, all of a sudden you've got cameras in his face, filming Kim Kardashian style reality TV. He's not going to want it. Imagine sticking a camera, reality TV style, in Kimi Raikkonen's face. Imagine. Yeah. That would be brilliant TV. Yeah, yeah.
It would be gold. But
he'd hate it because he's not from that. I feel like we're in this weird, what's that word? Purgatory of entertainment and racing, hardcore races, hardcore. Because even when I come on the pod a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago, the comments I got from the people who are hardcore racers were mental. Mm. But the people who actually saw it as an entertainment, who kind of backed me as the sofa fan, they got where I was coming from.
Yeah.
I want to see the silly season every week. Mm. I want to see it.
Of course.
But then all these hardcore races, they would come at me. So we need to find that really happy medium.
Yeah, we do.
Of once you've got all these big investors involved, it's going to become more entertainment. That's going to happen.
Mm.
But the transition shouldn't be so quick that it pisses everyone off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Less will I am.
Will I. Yeah.
Black Eyed Peas, man. We don't need them. Not anymore.
Well, boys, I wanted to do something a little bit different because we are at the mid-season point now.
Yep.
Technically just over because we've had 12 of 22.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a little bit of break now. So what I wanted to do is go through all the driver pairs and kind of head-to-head. Who's impressed us most?
Who's winning the 10 pairs?
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
So, should we start with Haas?
Okay, I thought you were going to start the other way.
Start with Haas.
Okay, cool.
Your favourite team, Niren?
Yes, my boys.
Oh, Hulk and Magnussen. You know what? Going into this year, I expected Hulk to be competitive and decent, but he's done a better job on Magnussen than I thought he would. I think it's now 7-3 in quali.
You can only really judge them on qualifying as well because they go nowhere in the race.
But I mean, Hulkenberg's really impressed me, actually.
Absolutely. He has. Great choice to get Schumacher out. Great choice. Definitely.
I felt for a time, but it was just sort of, and I will wholeheartedly apologize, girls, wrong. the Hulkenberg apology form needs to get signed.
Yeah, it does.
But at the time, I was just like, oh, Mick, he's done an all right job, don't it?
Yeah.
And Hulkenberg had been out of the sport, I think, in a full-time role for 3 seasons. Was it 2 full seasons? I can't remember. 3.
Yeah.
It's just probably. But he has genuinely slapped Kevin.
It's 9-3 to Hulkenberg in qualifying.
Mental.
9-3.
Yeah. I mean, and again, he's not just beating Magnussen. He's actually appearing in Q3 quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you should not. We look at where the Haas ends up in a race. We look at where the Haas are in a championship. I mean, Hulkenberg is 14th in the championship, so most of the time you would imagine he should only just be scraping into Q2.
Yeah.
Let alone getting into the top 10.
Absolutely.
And he's done it multiple times this season. So, yeah.
I'm very impressed with Hulk.
And this is his first year in that car, remember? And Magnussen's been at that team obviously had his break, but for years now as well.
Is it more good Hulkenberg or bad Magnussen?
I think it's combo.
Yeah, it is.
The answer is obviously combo, but as in if you had to lean to one more. Okay. Sorry.
I think good Hulkenberg. I think Hulkenberg's massively underrated.
It's a opportunity at his age, these opportunities don't come up and he's just capitalizing on a bang average car.
Mm-hmm.
And Magnussen.
Are you disappointed in Magnussen this season?
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I don't really think about Magnussen too much. And that's not me being nasty or nothing. It's just they're there.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm
happy for him. I was buzzing for him when he got, pole position in that Brazil. One time. I'm buzzing, but look.
Well, his job is under threat. I think Gunter Steiner came out and said, look, he has to match Hulkenberg, otherwise he doesn't get a new seat next season.
So who replaces?
Who replaces him?
Porsche, Haas, man.
Theo Porsche.
I'll get Alex
Palou. Yeah, so I'd love to see Theo in F1.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. What's he taking? Is he just taking the lead in F2?
Mm. Yeah, it's just today, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did, because Vesti was down, wasn't he? Because Piastri was P2.
I like Theo, and I'd like to see him in any... I don't care where he ends.
I'd put Palou in. I get Palou.
Palou won it. Well, actually, no, yeah, it's Formula One, isn't it? But
he's going to win IndyCar again this year. So, he's got two IndyCar titles. What more can he do in that championship? Bring him to F1. That's what I'd do. Palou.
I'd down for that.
Like, so, you're saying what end of the season, Magnussen? Because I don't think he's on a very long contract. I think it's a very... rolling contract.
Yeah, end of the season. So, the contract...
Like an
zero hour.
Day.
Yeah. Zero hour.
I think if he closes it to Hulk, then... if it's a bit more equal this second half of the year, then I think maybe let's keep him.
Like, I think he has to do.
The points gap is what? 7 points?
That's a lot down there, though. It's more the places as well. You've got Bottas, Zhou and Tsunoda in between. And against Wally as well. Yeah. That Haas is just like, it just stinks in the race. There's nothing that Nico Hülkenberg can do about that.
And Nico shouldn't be ahead of you. Yeah, to be fair, Nico shouldn't be ahead of you. Even though he is a good driver, but as you said, he's lost 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Hülkenberg is older than Magnussen as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hülkenberg's
been here a while. He's been here a long time. Was that 2010? Was that his first year?
And he's a bit of a quality specialist. He's always been. Remember that Silverstone?
Williams. Oh, and the Williams
in in the Racing Point.
Racing Point.
Yeah. He filled in and went P3. Insane. All right. Let's. It's hard. You know what? Ricciardo, Tsunoda, AlphaTauri. It's difficult because we've had two races.
Tsunoda's going to outperform because he knows. So I'm having a malted milk.
It's a mukbang.
Why not jump in with a mukbang? What the fuck am I doing? No, I think Yuki Tsunoda by the end of the season would have out. Well, we know he will, but I feel like they're both gunning for the same job in their head.
Mm-hmm.
If Danny's being considered, I'm definitely being considered. And I feel like I think he's going to outperform. And I also feel like, especially after the Grand Prix. You know, we got 10th. He just about got 10th, right?
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him. And I just want him to be better. Want him to be better. I feel like we all like Yuki.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. You can't like him.
You can't say a bad thing about him, really.
But yes, it's hard to compare them because they've had literally two races.
Because if you look at Hungary, I'd say Daniel outperformed him at Hungary, quality. He then got battered out of the way in the race. But in terms of quality, he
still came back to beat Yuki as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, obviously today... Absolutely. Yuki Tsunoda, he was my driver of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Daniel was not driver of the day in Hungary. So I guess you could swing it in the favour of Yuki overall. Yeah, it's two races, but...
But even based on today, it was just so much more dominant.
Yeah.
It was just so much more dominant.
I mean, he was literally sixth for the whole first stint.
Yeah.
I was like, fam, this is insane. So, I'd probably just edge it to Yuki right now, but fuck it, it could change.
It could change. Yeah, it is early doors, but Yuki...
And there's not even a race next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. It's time to. Well, it's one all between them, so one's got one over each other, and they can have this little summer break to settle in. Not much more to say on that. All right, Williams, Albon, surely. Albon.
Yeah, yeah.
Albon.
Have we been disappointed by Sargent, or is it about right what we expected?
I haven't been disappointed, but with what happened with the freeze,
I
feel like the situation with Sargent was probably more at risk than De Vries's.
Do you reckon?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think if De Vries deserved to lose his job, I don't agree he deserved to lose his job.
Yeah.
But obviously Ricciardo's not helping that statement.
Yeah.
But Sargent is actually not doing great either.
He's not, but I feel Sargent is actually a rookie, in it. De Vries, he's not.
We're gonna argue this. De Vries is a rookie this year.
Yeah.
He had one race.
Nah, you can't consider them the same, though.
He's a rookie.
De Vries is an F2, F3, FE champion. He's 2.5 years older than Charles Leclerc. In terms of racing experience, he's way more experienced than Logan.
What I mean is a Formula One driver, he's a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, but De Vries has tested pretty much every single F1 car last year. He's got overalls at home of every single Mercedes-powered team.
On his wall.
On his wall.
He did the rounds. Bear in mind, I come from a position...
Expectations are rightly different. That's what I'd say. Of Sargent and De Vries, come on. Expectations
De Vries should have made
different.
More out of that.
Have to be.
Surely. In comparison, I expect... What? Albon to beat Sargent every single race.
Comfortably.
When De Vries came in at AlphaTauri, I expected it to be 50-50.
Did you?
Yeah, because of De Vries's, maybe I'm wrong for thinking that, but De Vries is a Formula E and Formula 2 champion. Yuki Tsunoda has been beaten by Pierre Gasly both times. I like Yuki as a driver, but he's not like some world champion winning wonder kid. Yeah, he's not. So when De Vries comes in, he's probably like 4 years older than Yuki Tsunoda, I'd probably go, it's not going to be a whitewash.
He should have done better there, though.
At least 60-40 to Yuki.
He should have made himself number one driver more prominent straight away, but he never did.
Even though that Yuki's got two years experience in a Formula 1 car.
Don't get twisted. I would never expect De Vries to come in and just like start beating him. I expect there to be like a bit of beating him up.
You are two out there as well, boy.
There was easily a leeway of like 8 races where I'd go, right, you know what? If Yuki beats you, it's bless. But it was the way he was getting beaten.
Yeah.
It was a beat me down. It was like, it was by a distance and De Vries was at the back doing stupid shit.
Him and Magnussen in Canada, Baku, Australia, he didn't help himself. But granted, I just felt like, okay, if De Vries is gone, I'm looking at another bloke in here. So I was looking at Logan.
That is the only whitewashing qualifying. I thought, okay, that is crazy. I don't think Logan deserves to go.
Let's be clear. I don't think he deserves to go. I just think, well, if this is the levels.
But also, the way that James Vowles has managed, like the way he's talked about Logan, oh, he's doing really well, he just needs to get a bit more, and he's been super like, arm around shoulder, you're doing great. Like, that's the polar opposite to the Red Bull approach with De Vries.
Yes.
Where it's like,
Race now.
By that metric, I'm surprised Yuki's actually lasted this long, because Yuki was somebody who came in and we were like, we're excited to see it.
They had no
and
one
then,
else.
And then, yeah, they had no one else.
Bro,
but
time.
I'm actually surprised that we're in his third year in Formula One. Yeah. I'm actually surprised by that.
I'm glad we are.
Because
he deserves it.
But do you think it helps with Pierre move?
Sorry?
Do you think it helps with all the moves?
Like, oh, Pierre leaving. Yeah.
And there's no, like, I mean, Lawson came third in F2 last year and doing well in Super Formula. Yeah. But it wasn't like there was a young rebel driver who came in. Like I was hoping Hauger, like he won F3 and like F2, it kind of fizzled out a bit. And you got Awasa and Hauger and Fittipaldi, and you got loads of rebel juniors in F2, but none of them are really level. Like actually taking a stranglehold. And that's where Lawson, obviously doing well in Super Formula, is somewhat. So I think that's kind of helped you.
What I will say about Logan Sargeant, though, is if we get to next season.
Yeah.
If he's in season two, and we're like 8 races in and it's 8-0 to Albon.
We're done.
He's got to go.
We're done here.
It's time to go,
we're
man.
Done here.
Not like mid-season, I'm not saying, but I think that would be his last season.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm anti-mid-season sackings for drivers. Facts, I frigging hate that. I can't stand that. I don't know why, you know, when it happened to Gasly, Kvyat, Albon.
Yeah.
All of them. Like, I've felt the same way. It's just give them the season. Just let them have the season.
Because what can you actually do? What can actually really change for that team?
Honestly.
I get it a bit more
at teams that are fighting down towards the bottom, because a point scoring finish can be mad. But AlphaTauri, it's like if Daniel Ricciardo comes in, somehow gets 7th, where De Vries would not.
That's
10 million.
Great move. Yeah, great
for sure.
But if it's like, in my opinion, if it's Red Bull, for example, when it was Gasly and when it was Albon, whatever, I just think you're breaking a driver's comfort.
Not being funny as well, like
18 months.
Just people care a bit more about AlphaTauri now that Ricciardo's in that car. So the sponsors are getting a bit more value.
This is when I was on last time, no one kind of got my gist of like, it is for entertainment as well.
Of course it is. No, of course it is.
If I'm seeing 35-year-old up white men racing fast cars every week, I'm going to turn off. I want a bit of action. I want a bit of Phil Mitchell.
Some juice.
Yeah. A little bit of EastEnders action. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
I want Queen Vic drinks thrown everywhere.
I want that. And that's Daniel Ricciardo.
I'm with you.
That's why I said he's there for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
The thing is, okay, then recruit him in the summer.
You've been reading too many comments, man.
You're absolutely right. It was a better appointment to make. Just do it in the summer, in the winter. I keep forgetting some of
it. It's a shame for De Vries, but ultimately, there's only 26 in
also,
F1.
Danny Ricciardo, we were hearing, was rejecting jobs. And I remember being on this pod sometime last year.
As in, like, outside of F1?
Within F1, when he lost the McLaren seat, it was like, okay, what next? Would Alpine be an option? Because he was rumoured there. He was rumoured with Williams. He was rumoured with AlphaTauri and Haas. And guess what? He's in an AlphaTauri.
Yeah.
When he was like, I don't want to fight with anybody. I don't want to have a car down there. I want to be fighting up the front. Well, you know.
This is his best shot at top.
Not up in here.
It is though, Things have changed.
All right. Bottas Joe, Alfa Romeo. Awful Romeo, as I have pinned.
I'm going to go I'm saying,
hang on, it's 8-4 to Bottas in qualifying.
Oh shit, man. Duck, what,
Joe? You were going to say Joe? No, I think Bottas has slightly outperformed Joe, but I think given this is Joe's second season and the experience that Valtteri has, I feel like that's Joe's done a good job.
Yeah,
That Silverstone performance was a stinker off the start from Joe.
Yeah,
like you know, P5 he starts.
Oh, hungry.
Sorry. And you know, if he finishes in the points, we might be arguing that Joe is ahead of Bottas. But yeah, I think overall, the team sucks.
What actually happened in Hungary? Because it's like
he did have an issue.
But was at the start, he just didn't.
There was no thought. You could see when he pulled, it just
nothing happened.
Yeah, just there was some, which is
such a shame,
because that also timing, as well,
that also because Bottas was right behind him, so then that made Bottas have to take evasive action, and then he lost positions as well. So
you know what I'm gonna do, the logic that I'm gonna apply here is that I have probably thought about Alfa Romeo collectively 6 times. But who out of those has made me think about them the most? Guan Yu Zhou, because he was P5 in Hungary.
I think
I thought about Valtteri Bottas much? I'll be honest, I haven't.
I think Bottas has had this slightly stronger season of the two, but I think Joe's impressed me more.
Do you remember the start of the season though, when Bottas was like running around the back?
Has he impressed you more because Bottas is he's had all this history, you know, been at Mercedes and stuff. Is he impressed you more because Joe's never had that? So,
well, because I mean, Valtteri outqualified Lewis 30% of the time in their 5 years together. Like 30%, like one in every 3 times, Valtteri would outqualify Lewis. Like Valtteri's got
the bar's really high.
Very good.
So, I consider Valtteri's a very, very accomplished F1 driver, and it's easy to disregard him because he was always second to Lewis, but Lewis is one of the greatest to ever do it. So, fair enough. We're saying this about Verstappen and Perez at the moment. Fair enough that Perez is behind. So I think for Joe to be as close as he is, when he came in, we all thought this is just a pay driver, he's not at the level, but he's come in and been pretty close to Valtteri. So that's why I've been more impressed relative. I think Bottas should be beating Joe by more, and he's not. So I give credit to Joe for that.
For but
Bottas has been stronger, 8-4 in qualifying. I think Bottas has outperformed Joe this year.
I'm just disappointed with this Bottas that we've got though, isn't it? He's very much in a lull. He's not very much trying his very best. And I don't want to sound disrespectful because obviously these athletes, they do what they do to, you know, be the best in the world. But you can just tell Bottas has hit that stage where it's like, look, I'm not even going to... It just feels like he's not trying to the absolute limit where he can.
He's
comfy, and it's a shame because I wanted to get that Williams Bottas back when he went to Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
He thought he's got a point to prove now and sort of thing. And don't get me wrong, he got 10 races. Was it 10 race wins for Mercedes? He's got more race wins than Ricciardo had that thingy. So when you look at it like that, there is a driver there that can actually do,
it
gives you that Kimi Raikkonen vibe a little bit where I felt like as well, Kimi was just like, look, I'm here, it is what it is, and more money goes into the pension.
And if he wants to hold on to that seat when Audi take over, which is seen to be a big opportunity, then he needs to wake up a bit and he's not consolidated his position at that time.
I look at them and I think they're quite equal.
Yeah.
Look at it and go, this has been by far the hardest decision so far because...
Yeah. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. Bottas should be the leader of that team, with Joe going into his second season. Yeah. So, yeah, man.
I'll just say this. Yeah, the side wing key in that team, guys, get ready for some action. That's what I'm going to say. I've lived it, loved it.
You're on the other side.
What
about it's been Alpine, Gasly and Ocon?
Oh, fuck knows, honestly.
Ocon this year.
Six in qualifying.
No, Ocon this year. Ocon this year.
I think Ocon's had the
Ocon's more aggressive driver.
More so because I think Gasly's disappointed.
He is. That's it. You know? He's disappointed. Yeah. He's there. That's what I think it is. I feel like he feels like...
But it is his first year of that team.
And he's already like,
It was good to see P3 yesterday, right? He got on the podium, whatever that is, whatever thing it was. And... no, as in like... it was good to see him there because it was like, okay, Gasly is still around. He's still a driver we can respect and love to see do well. He has disappointed because I didn't expect Ocon to... Ocon, I think, has always been a steady driver across the board. So often we go for a season where it's like, is he underrated or is he overrated? Yeah. You know, we always go through that conversation. And then over the course of the season, we realize, do you know what? Ocon's probably just about right, rated well, if that makes sense. I don't know what the correct term is. But I think he's just rated where he should be over the course of a season. But there are moments in a season where Ocon is actually, he shines a bit, but I think Gasly has disappointed this season so far.
But I also feel like he is disappointed in his move.
True. Who?
Gasly.
From
to be fair, looking at the AlphaTauri, I don't know.
No, but I just feel like he expected to get way more than
expected more from Alpine. Understandably.
That's what I'm trying to say. I feel like he expected to be doing more with that car.
Yeah. Well, he expected, look at McLaren and Aston both fighting for podiums over the course of this season.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's no excuse for Alpine because they were clear of them two teams last year. Yeah,
for sure.
So the excuse is run out. Yeah, I think Ocon edges it over.
Yeah, it's close though for me. It's genuinely close. It's close. Again, like yesterday with Pierre.
It's not close yet. It should be close. I just don't think it is.
I mean, 6-6 qualifying. No. They're the closest qualifying pairing.
6-6, yeah.
6-6. So,
but you're right. What stands out is those shock moments of, Esteban's doing this. That's true.
I like him. I'm glad he got back into Formula One when he did, because not being in it, I was a bit like, that's a bit harsh. But
That was well harsh.
Yeah.
Norris, Piastri, McLaren. I mean, Norris is.
Are we talking about, at the start of the season, or are we talking about
just head,
well, the whole
head to head
thing,
12 races? I mean, Norris has been the quicker driver for sure.
It is Lando, but like, it's been so impressive.
I think everyone's been so impressed.
I'm so surprised by Piastri.
I've seen his junior record and I was like, you're going to be, when you see a driver and they just win everything when they get to Formula One, I was like, oh shit. Like Leclerc did it and Van Dorn did it, but obviously it didn't work out.
Yeah, so it can go both ways.
It can go both ways. It's not a guarantee. Yeah, no,
Do you know what this reminds me of? The World Cup final, Argentina-France, right? Messi is the king. Yeah. Right, Lando Norris, but Mbappe scored a hat trick on the day in a World Cup final, and it was like, you're the king now, but boy, he is next.
I wanted to know where he's going. He said Messi was Lando Norris. I was like, where are you going with this?
Ratio, you know what I mean? So I think, you can't help but stare and think, my God, he's got 3 goals in a World Cup final. Like he's superb, he's brilliant. Piastri is phenomenal, and it's one of the best rookie seasons we've seen since Hamilton. And it's okay, but we are still seeing those rookie mistakes slightly, very, very small, but they're there.
Yeah, I mean, even during the sprint when Max was like on the radio and it was like, oh yeah, he's wearing his tyres.
He's wearing them out.
The last time we've seen a rookie exposed to a podium potential car.
Yeah.
To be honest, was probably Alex at the second end of 2019.
Sure.
And then before that, it was probably Lewis. In like 2007.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, someone pulled me up on this because I said last time that he's the most exciting rookie since Lewis, but apparently it was Verstappen in the Toro Rosso. So I don't know what the figures were.
Maybe
that was just one of these full kit Red Bull people. Yeah.
I mean,
Leclerc Sauber
was serious. He made Marcus Ericsson, who's an Indy 500 winner, he made him look like a rookie. Like,
absolutely.
He slapped him.
For sure.
He did slap him up.
Well, I see this going though with Lando and Piastri is the Danny Ricciardo, Max Verstappen situation where one of them will run from a fight. I think that person is going to be Lando in years to come. Lando will run to Red Bull because I feel like Piastri will be nipping at his ankles.
But wouldn't it be the same at Red Bull? Wouldn't he be going into the same situation at Red Bull?
If not worse.
Yeah, but you're also going to be in that Red Bull car. And I feel,
the speed of the cars, doesn't it?
Max has talked about, saying about the end of 2028. Yeah. I could see Max leaving F1 at the end of 28.
Yeah.
Really?
Because he's been in the sport since he was 17.
Yeah.
He'll be 30 then.
Is this his 10th season now? Or is it 9th?
Oh, something like that.
9th, I think.
Well, 2015 was his first year in F1. It's now 2023.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, 15 was his first year.
We're on 9.
In terms of career longevity, and he wants to do Le Mans, he wants to do all of these other series. I could see him leaving, so then that's maybe an opportunity for Lando to then take
that. So what's keeping him here now? He's got his world championships. What's keeping him here now then? What do you think he's got his eye on?
Dominant car, contract, a package he can win.
And he can't leave. He thought he was signing an autograph. No, it's a contract.
I mean, I think 28's a while away. That's like 5 years away still.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's 5 contract. World Championships. So what would be on 7?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Or 8?
Oh, dear.
Well, if you included this year.
Oh, yeah.
If it's this year, it'd be 8. So he just wants to... Just put the nail in the coffin.
But also, Max will get to see the new engines and all that because that's 2026.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Oscar's outperformed. I mean, I know some of the, there was certain quotes from people at Prema who, you know, Prema was the, Piastri was there, Leclerc was there, you know, they've had so many drivers who've turned into F1 and
Mick Schumacher.
Mick Schumacher was there with the Prema tax. Yeah. But it's like, Piastri, serious.
You've got to understand what McLaren he joined. You know, he joined a team that was not performing well at all. And Whack now McLaren. And now he's splitting the Alpines in the Drivers' Championship. And really, write should have down. Been... Yeah, that'll come after, don't worry. You know, had it not been for the race in Belgium, how it went for him, you know, he could have still been above both Alpines.
Yeah, I still think we've done incredibly
You know, Piastri above both Alpines in the Drivers' Championship. Mm. Unbelievable, you know, he's done phenomenally well.
I mean, he's only 9 points off Stroll.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, let me tell you, terrible.
We're knocking on that Stroll door. Let's be very clear. We're knocking on that door. Yeah, right, we're in.
Should we go there next?
Let's go. That's Aston Martin.
Alonso I Stroll. Wonder who it could be.
It's anyone but Stroll. Anyone but Stroll.
Drogovic. Yeah, it could be anybody but Stroll. Do you know what I mean?
Drogovic.
Yeah, literally. I mean, Alonso still being P3 in the championship is hilarious.
It is.
Because I ain't seen him on a podium in how long, you know, it feels like forever. Yeah. So, obviously, you know, Fernando wiping the floor. Mm. What's the quali stats on that between him and...
So it's 10-2 to Alonso. Again, this is including, you know, if someone has an issue.
I was going to say, what happened in those two? Yeah, I want to know how the Stroll qualify him then.
But it's 10-2 to Fernando.
That first weekend when Stroll had no legs, no arms, and he was absolutely killing it in Bahrain.
Yeah, broken arms.
He's a different beast when he's like...
He was phenomenal.
To be fair... Properly injured. Yeah. It's actually
Belgium, technically, Stroll was ahead, I think, because he crashed.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
So that's well done, Stroll. Yeah, look, it's, I think we've said our piece on the situation.
Stroll seems like a nice guy.
102
points. The thing is, he doesn't seem like a nice guy. That's the thing. If that was a nice guy, I don't think he's a nice guy.
He seems like...
Screams daddy's money.
He seems to me... From everything I've seen from Lance, he seems very like to himself. He's very like... He's not one to put himself out there. Yeah. He's not one to post loads on social media.
Yeah.
He just kind of... Which maybe that's a product of his upbringing and like...
I just feel like...
I bet he's blessed.
He must have a massive chip on his shoulder, right? Because he will always be just considered... He's developed to a stage now. He's still only like 24 and he's been in the sport, which feels like forever. I think that's like 2017. He's been in the sport for a long time. And like he's developed into a perfectly capable Formula One driver who's got podiums and he's got... Right, but like that's... I think he's at his ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't... Like, if he's not going to improve in the last... Like, he's got to his place where he is now, right?
Would he still be in that car if his dad didn't own the team?
Of course.
No, exactly.
Of course not. No.
He's 102 points behind Fernando.
I mean, I think...
That's a lot of points.
I think Lawrence like bought the Williams wind tunnel to get him in the seat. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
when would we have seen the end of Lance Stroll? That sounded really dramatic. I didn't mean like that.
I mean, Sorokin was better than him in his first year.
Oh, man.
And he got a podium in the Williams.
So
he got a podium in the Williams.
He's capitalised an opportunity. He went pole in Turkey in the rain. Yeah. Like he's got some underlying talent.
It would have been 2020.
He's not a Latifi.
No, right? Definitely not.
He's not a Latifi.
But he won F3, right? As in like the European one.
Before it was . Although I've heard a lot of stories about certain engines and special...
Allegedly.
The money gets you a long way in life, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it does. And in those championships, it does.
Yeah.
I think it would have been 2020, wouldn't it? Because that's when, obviously, Sergio Perez got kicked out for Seb.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Seb, I mean, Checo and Seb in that Aston would have been...
Oh, we were actually robbed.
We were robbed.
Well, I mean, but then we got Sergio and a Red Bull, so...
Yeah, it is what it is. Not much more to say on them two. What about
Alonso?
Mercedes, Hamilton, Russell, 7-5 to Hamilton in qualifying.
Hamilton,
Lewis.
Yeah, it's been...
Yeah.
40 points, right? It's
been strong.
Thanks.
It's like, 50. Exactly 50 points now. No, sorry.
49.
Mad.
What I want to know, what I want to question is what's happened to George? Something's kicked off.
Can I just say, today, by the way, he did, I saw the replay of this because we have a TV in the background whilst it's whatever. And George is on board. He actually got a really good start, went around the outside like three people.
Mm.
And then Piastri just broke down. Right?
So
then like four people went past him again. And I was like, oh shit, man, he did get unlucky. But yeah, even from a qualifying perspective, again, kind of like since, was it George that went out like early in qualifying in Miami or was it Lewis? I'm sure one of the Mercedes struggled then.
Not sure.
I feel like it's been that sort of tide change again over like the last sort of six or so races.
Yeah.
Where Lewis seems has just really kicked on.
Much more consistent.
Yeah.
I think also he's in his head, George is very goal orientated. And I feel like the goals he's setting himself aren't coming as quick as he'd like to hope. Like, you know, I think one day he will be faster than Lewis. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
That's
if I'm being honest. Like,
when you say faster, do you mean like raw pace? Because I feel like
no. I do think in time he will, because he will just learn from Lewis. Lewis makes mistakes that George will pick up on, and we've seen that before. But
it must have been hard for George to be in that Williams for 3 years, and then as soon as he gets the jump up to Mercedes, fuck up the regulations.
Because
he thinks he should have in that lie detector. He was like, after a year, I should have got the Mercedes seat. Which, I mean, I can understand why he backs himself, right? He thinks he should have...
Valtteri Bottas dislikes that video.
Yeah, I can imagine. But it's all engagement, bro. It's all engagement.
It's the fact.
Yeah. Helps the algorithm. So,
I think he's just actually just realised, working with Lewis, Lewis is a beast. This is what I hate about being a Lewis fan, is that people just say, well, he was in the fastest car, he's just driving the fastest car. Lewis is a beast.
I actually don't
come up against the beast, and if you try it, you're gonna get put in the mud in the nicest possible way.
I'm gonna get accused of British bias probably, but I feel like maybe people are, but I don't think people are actually making enough of like a meal of the fact that Lewis is actually having a good season. Like, I feel like it's just kind of gone under the radar.
Yeah,
Mercedes is 1 point off Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
So with the way that the Mercedes and Aston Martin trajectory is swapped, you would imagine the next Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton will be third in the championship, right?
Well, yeah.
Best of the rest in a Mercedes that is best of the rest occasionally, but not always. I think it's like the absolute best you can hope for.
He's getting the best out of that car.
I think he really is, and more.
But last year, what we had to realise is Lewis was taking in a lot of information last year. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of testing and a lot of different strategies and working on something completely different. Whereas,
this is why it was maybe so close between him and George at the start of the season.
And it's like George was sort of fighting a different battle to what Lewis was fighting. Mm-hmm. Lewis was doing something else completely. We cannot forget how good this driver is.
Yeah.
And I think with Lewis in general, as usually as is the case, we kind of jump onto him a little bit late. Oh, bloody hell, he actually really is that good. He really is that guy.
Lewis
is always, in terms of like his talent, people jump onto it late, unless you're like a avid Lewis fan or a Mercedes fan or whatever. But people, the media and everything else come onto him a little bit late. And I think, as you said, he will overtake Alonso in due course in the Drivers' Championship. And then they'll be like, do you know what? Lewis has actually had a really good season. And it's like, well done, Sherlock.
Do you know why? It's because he's not dominating like he did. And I feel like for Lewis, you know, since the reg change and the car's not been the car that he's driven for a long time, mentally he's like, oh my God, I'm Lewis Hamilton. I'm so many times world champion. This shouldn't be happening to me. That's probably going through his head, bruv.
The conversation as well is that
what's going through his head.
There's a lot of Mercedes talk this season was very much about how they need to change this philosophy. You know, we kept seeing Toto Wolff apologizing. We kept seeing all kinds of weird stuff happen at the start of the season where it's just like, Mercedes, get your finger out. You know what to do. You know exactly what the issues are. Just go ahead and solve them. And even if it means the philosophy is the same as Red Bull's, like, just kill your pride and get on with it.
For sure,
it is what it is.
And so, I really hope Lewis does believe in Mercedes as much as Mercedes believe in him. That's one thing that, you know, with all these Ferrari rumours, there's always a Ferrari rumour knocking around about Lewis.
He can't believe in Ferrari, sure.
Definitely not. But if they're that bad, you know, anyone could be swayed. Yeah. But I just really hope Lewis does have faith in Mercedes, because I do think they will get him that title. So they will get it back for him.
Interesting point what you just said there. Did you not watch the briefing with the Mercedes team after he got pole? And he walks into the team. He walks into like whatever, you know, their sort of
press area.
Yeah. No, sorry. It's just for the team.
Oh, okay. Cool. Check.
Inside their motorhome. And he kind of walks in there and it's like, what? There's nobody else like gassed as I am. Like, what? Come on, guys. Like, we've got pole. You know, we can make something out of this. So, and it seemed like there's a guy that I think is James Allison. He was the kind of person who would be like, you know, we can try, we're going to try our best. We're going to do everything we can to get this win. And yet everybody else kind of seemed a little bit like,
well, he's got pole, but he's not going to win.
It is what it is. We know
it's probably hard with people who have worked at Mercedes for a while when they've had that massive era of dominance.
Exactly.
And it's like naturally, yes, of course, you grab pole in a season where your car isn't the best anymore, but they're so unused to that being the case.
Yeah.
That just should be like a given.
The bare when minimum.
The bare minimum is a pole at Mercedes. So people are probably seeing that happen and going, oh, well, it's cool, but like,
it's back hard in the for them day, to get like, too gassed.
Hard to get used to it.
When you say back in the day, and I said it, I say it all the time. When you actually think, it is only 2 years ago, but
so many of the staff at Mercedes were there.
I consider that the dominance, the glory days at Mercedes.
But the regulation change was so big that it might as well be 50 years ago.
Exactly. You know,
the cars are fundamentally, it was the biggest regulation change since like the early 80s.
I just think both parties, okay, they still work really well together. We've seen, you know, pole, and he will get third.
They're his best shot.
But I also feel like I need to believe in each other more. It's fixable. Maybe not this season, but it's fixable.
They're his best shot.
He's still an incredible driver. Yeah. Toto, I still think he's an incredible, you know, head of that team. I still think the team are amazing.
Yeah.
And I still think George Russell is a great number two driver. He's not a number one driver
yet.
And I think he will be.
Yeah.
But that's just focus on you are a number two driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Learn what you can for now.
So learn from the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in that case, who's the number one and two driver at Ferrari? Scuderia.
Ferrari. Yeah.
I'm always going Carlos.
Just Carlos is actually a shout, by the way.
I just
more
like
than people realize, because Leclerc's start to the season stunk.
Yeah,
really stunk, and he's overtaken Sainz in the championship now after what happened today by 7 points. So there is an argument. Obviously, you could flip flop back to Leclerc, but the first six races of the season were horrendous.
It's 8-4 to Leclerc in qualifying, and I would say one lap pace. I think it's.
Leclerc's
for me, it's
always going to be better
on one lap pace, but ultimately one lap pace is less of a factor than race pace and the whole and Carlos is the one who's more likely to, you know, there's been times this year where it felt like Charles just been like, fine, we'll just do whatever you say.
Whingy.
Whereas Carlos will do what he feels like.
Carlos knows what he's talking about. Yeah. That's the first thing.
He'll pull rank on the team. Charles doesn't do that enough.
Which, by the way, he should. Because every time Leclerc has trusted the team, they've flopped him every time. Yeah. We watched it last year, weekend after weekend. We were watching, what are Ferrari doing strategically? We've got it again this year. Mm. This time, Sainz is like, listen, I'll tell you when I'm pitting. Well, I'll tell you, here's what we should do. You know, when they were asking about Sierra A, it was like, no, we're going to stick to, it's a bit too early for that now.
Yeah.
He sees how it works with Leclerc and he's like, that's not happening.
He's a clever dude, Carlos. He's a very clever dude. Like,
and every time something goes wrong, it's always Charles on the radio moaning and whinging. It's back and forth bickering.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I just... playground.
I'm still going to go with Charles, by the way.
I'm going to go Carlos.
I'm going Carlos, you know.
I think Charles.
What is the story? Did you say the stats in the qualifier? Did you say
the 8-4 to Leclerc?
But Leclerc is traditionally just a qualifier. That's not even necessarily.
Charles quicker over a lap.
No doubt.
But then that's just clearly just me biased, just liking Carlos more then.
But I think there's an argument.
There is definitely an argument.
I think there's an argument that in the race that you could bank on Carlos maybe more in certain situations to make the right call.
Just getting in top 10 or?
I would say when Carlos first signed for Ferrari, there was a lot of mistakes, but I think it was just because he was getting used to the car.
Yeah.
But overall, in like a career sense, I think Carlos is the more reliable in terms of like, he's not just going to throw it at the scenery.
No.
Whereas Charles will be on a qualifying lap and just bin it in.
Charles will push over,
And over push the car. But it's because he is probably one lap wise quicker than Carlos is.
Oh, yeah. For
I
sure,
think
for sure.
If today hadn't happened, and I mean, again, I think it was like 50-50 between him and Piastri. Carlos just closed the door, but Piastri. There
Lewis
was a moment
was on his
where
outside
could've...
as well.
Yeah. So it's a tough one.
Free word.
If Carlos finishes fourth today, for example, which could quite easily have done if he was still in the race, probably choose Carlos, really. Yeah. But I'm going to go with Leclerc as fuck the feds.
Yeah, I think we're kind of split down the middle.
Yeah,
which is a nice way to round it out because obviously Red Bull is Verstappen. So
anyway,
we've already talked about that to death. So I think we should wrap it now.
Yeah,
lads, thank you.
Are you sure
again for coming on? I'm sure.
Okay, all right, cool. Just wanted to check.
I'm sorry, Checo fans, but I'm sure. Alex, where can the people find you?
At Alex Mansarolo on socials. You can find me on Kiss. Every weekend, Kiss Tree every week, every day of the week, and nice. Kiss Fresh every day of the week as well. Yeah. So
I've been on there.
You've been on Kiss Fresh?
Well, Rue Kid
Rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy.
I've done a guest mix for him.
Did ya?
We'll talk after that.
We will.
Grime.
Two DJs. Two DJs.
He's going to take my job. He's my job.
For real. This was lockdown time.
This is bland, isn't it? This is a public sacking of me.
Oh, sick.
Well, we can find you, Pete.
Clearly on Rude Kid Show.
Yeah. Peter on Paul on YouTube, McLaren Fan TV on YouTube and on Twitter as well. Live streams every Tuesday, 7 p.m. on McLaren Fan TV. And Peter on Paul videos twice a week, Monday and Fridays, typically. Scintillating stuff.
There we go, Neil, and wrap it up, son.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, by the way, Tom.
It's good to have you back, son.
But that'll do, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, then of course don't forget to like and subscribe. If you're watching, no, not watching. If you're listening, audio only, Spotify, whatever, give us a 5-star rating. It does really help us out. We will be back next week for the start of the summer break.
Yeah.
I'm going to Ibiza. So I'll try not to, you know,
go too hard
and I'll hopefully be back.
Get a trim before you go as
get
well.
A trim.
Get a trim.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that. God.
Oh, dear. Pleasure as always. Thanks for coming and we'll see you next week.
Peace and love.
Bye everyone.
Love.